Welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Wellness Center, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. I'm Lisa Prather. Good morning, Dr. Prather.
Good morning, Lisa.
And how are you today?
I am fantastic.
Oh, great. Well, I am looking forward to today's show. It's a serious topic, and we're going to talk about cancer. Mm. The best cure for cancer is prevention. We're going to talk about that. But this is kind of dear to my heart, and I'm anxious to learn a lot because I lost 3 out of my 4 grandparents to cancer. And, you know, to me, it just seems so common. Let's just talk about statistics right now for cancer. How common is cancer?
Well, cancer is the second most common cause of death. You know, if you're talking about people dying, if you combine the cardiovascular and the cancer, I mean, that's going to account for a good majority of all the deaths. And if you combine that with cerebral vascular accidents, then that covers 50% of all the deaths out there.
Mm. Are we talking about the United States?
The United States.
Okay.
Absolutely. So you're talking about the latest statistics, the estimate, is about 1,600,000 people are going to be diagnosed each year with cancer. Mm. And there will be about 577,000 deaths a year due to cancer, which is a very, very large number and quite a problem, you know, in trying to prevent cancer, keep that under control if you do have it. Trying to find the best way to approach it is a very important part of your health risk and something that everyone should be looking to prevent.
And you talked about cancer being the number 2 killer after cardiovascular.
And it's very close to as the number 2.
Uh-huh. And we're talking about all types of cancer.
Yes, we have a wide variety of cancers. But really, as you're talking about cancer, it is cells that have gotten out from under the body's control. Mm. And they're proliferating and causing damage on their own. And it's a very, very terrible type of disease to get for anyone who has had a family member who's gone through that, or if they've gone through it. It is something that we should all be trying to work on and making sure that we don't develop that.
Right. And is it true that we all have cancer cells?
Very good question. Mm-hmm. Yes. If you would check anyone out, and there are different ways to do that, there really isn't anyone who doesn't have cancer cells in their body. But the body is constantly has the immune system to actually keep that under check. Mm-hmm. There is methods that the body actually eliminates that and does not allow that to continue. So really, as we're talking about it, everybody has cancer cells. Not everybody actually has the disease of cancer, though.
Hmm. And we'll talk about that later, how the cancer cells go out of control. But I want to know a little bit more statistics. What's the median age for cancer?
The average person is actually going to, if you take the median age of when most people are diagnosed with cancer, it would be 66.
Mm, that's when people are diagnosed.
That is the largest number of people that have actually been diagnosed with it, is at the age of 66. Now, of course, you can get cancer at any age. You know, kids can get cancer. But if you're looking at the average person who is diagnosed with cancer, the age is around 66.
Interesting. Now, you know, it just we just hear so much about cancer. You know, was it prevalent in the 50s and we just, you know, didn't hear so much about it?
Or? Sure. Actually, the cancer death rate per 100,000 people has gone down about 11%. Uh-huh. Since the 1950s. And one of the biggest reasons for that is fewer people are smoking, especially males. Now, the problem is that the lung cancer is that a lot more women are smoking than used to be. So
I just heard that on the news.
Yeah, that was very interesting because women are smoking at the same rate as men are at this point. So they have just as much cancer associated with the cigarette smoking as men do. And a good point about the cigarette smoking, and one thing that people should always be aware, it's the toxins is the one of the biggest causes of cancer. So it's the toxins in the cigarette that actually causes that. And if we can keep that under control. I mean, there's, and when we're talking about cancer, the best treatment is prevention.
Well, let's talk about the contributing factors to cancer. You were just saying toxins, and that's why smoking has such a big effect.
Absolutely. You know, if you are in professions where it's a toxic environment, you have a higher chance of actually getting cancer.
Well, my grandfather didn't smoke, but he died of lung cancer because when he came over from Italy, he worked in the foundries in Detroit, which kicked off his lung cancer.
Sure, and they found a very strong correlation with all sorts of different types of toxins, heavy metals, infections, parasites can be a contributing factor. Actually being constipated can be a factor for developing cancer. Because as you are constipated, you actually absorb a lot of toxins that you normally wouldn't. And that actually can create a higher risk for cancer.
That's why fiber is so important.
Well, fiber does a tremendous amount on that. And yes, that is one of the factors that, that really helps, is because fiber keeps the bowels clean. And if you have a toxic backed up bowel, your chances of having cancer become much, much higher as opposed to a nice, clean, healthy bowel. So anything that you can do to reduce toxins, that's why the liver is so important. One of the things that we always check out at the Prather Wellness Center or the blood test is to make sure that the liver is working properly and it is able to handle the amount of toxins that, that it actually receives. And you can do that by checking on the liver enzymes. And if those start to be get too high, too low, then the liver is overtaxed and you are not handling your toxins well. Kidneys is another source of being able to get rid of toxins. And if the kidney is not working right, that increases your chances of cancer. We check for heavy metals and make sure that those aren't in the body. Even imbalances in the minerals can actually cause a problem. They find that zinc, if it goes too high or too low, can actually be a factor for cancer. Too high of iron can cause cancer. Much, much higher rate of cancer in people who have high levels of iron in their system. But if you're too low, then you're anemic, and that actually can cause cancer.
It's this whole thing we talk about week after week, homeostasis.
Yes. Homeostasis is absolutely true. And there are so many different types of imbalances in the body. And when the body becomes imbalanced, it becomes a toxic situation. And when it becomes a toxic situation, then your chances of getting cancer become quite a bit more prevalent. One of the common types of toxins that can actually be involved with cancer is free radicals.
Yeah, let's talk about what are free radicals.
Well, free radicals.
Not a rock band.
Yeah. Well, everyone's heard of
The radicals.
When people have heard about antioxidants. And antioxidants are different vitamins and different minerals that are known to reduce the oxidative stress. And what they're talking about is when you actually make energy in your body, ATP, there is an, a chemical process that takes place that uses oxygen. And oxygen easily can kick off a free electron. And when that free electron gets knocked off of an oxygen molecule, it starts spreading around through the body and it can cause it quite a bit of damage. One, it can cause a mutation in the cell structure, which can start a cancer. And then also, it is a toxin to the body, which can also kick off cancer. So it has a double whammy on the system. So free radical pathology is something that can really kick off cancer and something that needs to be watched. And we can actually pick that up on blood tests.
You just lost me a little bit, Chemistry 101.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Probably didn't lose any of our listeners, just me.
But, yeah, so I was trying not to get too technical. But basically, an antioxidant is a something that actually will absorb those free nasty electrons that are going around causing trouble.
Mm-hmm. So when they use the word antioxidant, mm-hmm. it's could be many things.
There are many different types of things that are antioxidants.
Okay. Okay.
There's a whole slew of different.
And we're going to talk about what kind of supplements that we use.
Sure. There's a tremendous amount involved with all that.
Okay, so we're talking about the contributing factors to cancer. We talked about toxins. What about lack of oxygenation? Because I know with smoking, that's
exactly. That's, you know, not only does smoking create toxins, but as you can tell on people, they become more wrinkled.
Mm-hmm.
They look older, and that is a lack of oxygenation. If you were completely oxygenated your entire life, you would look like you're 21 and probably wouldn't ever get cancer. Whenever they infuse cancer with oxygen, cancer cells dies.
Mm-hmm.
So a lack of oxygenation to cells will actually create a condition that can actually kick off cancer cells. There's a tremendous amount of chemistry inside the cells that goes along with that. I will not get into that.
Mm, thank you. Well, you know, I was just thinking we can talk about this when you get back. A patient for smoking cessation. So this is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather on Indian's Voice of Freedom, Freedom 95. Welcome back to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Prather Wellness Center, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Our focus today is on cancer. The best cure is prevention. And Dr. Prather, we were talking about statistics and how common cancer is. And
mm-hmm.
It's just the encouraging thing, though, is that some of the statistics have decreased on death rate.
There are very specific cancers that have improved. One is lung cancer, which used to be a huge killer for men because so many men smoked. So that has reduced quite dramatically due to men actually cutting down on how much they smoked. But women are now, even with men, on lung cancer caused by cigarettes because they are smoking earlier, and there is an even number of men and women who actually smoke now, about 20%. If you do smoke, quit. If you don't smoke, don't start.
Yeah, there's so much more involved when you talk about toxins than just smoking. But I wanted to talk, were talking about the lack of oxygen and with smoking, and I'm thinking of a patient we're working on smoking cessation with.
Sure.
And he's a young guy, but in just the four treatments that he has, I said, there's something about you. You're looking better, your eyes, your skin color, everything looks better because, he's smoking less. So we're talking about the contributing factors to cancer, toxins,
sure.
Lack of oxygen. Anything more you want to say on oxygenation?
One thing that people miss out on is I have a lot of patients who come in, and as I'm reading their blood test, I say, you're anemic. They said, oh, yes, that's no big deal. I've been anemic for 10 years. My doctor always says that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
If you're anemic, your chances of actually getting cancer are much, much greater. An example would be if you are anemic and you have colon cancer or breast cancer, if you are not anemic, you have a 50% higher survival rate.
Uh-huh.
So even if you have, as you have cancer, if you're not anemic, then your chances of actually surviving are much, much greater. And there's a very good evidence that if you aren't anemic, your chances of actually getting cancer are much less.
So take anemia seriously.
Take anemia seriously. That is not something that should be lightly passed over.
And that's checked on blood work?
That is checked on by blood work. There are ways to find out exactly which nutrients. By the way, there's 30 different nutrients that can be involved in anemia.
Mm.
So it's not a simple process on getting fixed. That's why it's oftentimes ignored. But it's not something that should be ignored.
Right. Right. Very important.
Sure.
In the prevention.
Sure. And oxygenation is how deep you breathe.
Mm-hmm.
How excellent your arteries are opened up and how much flow is actually going through that. So there's quite a bit involved with the oxygenation of the body, and very important that that's actually taken care of.
What about pH changes? Do they contribute to cancer?
Oh, very good. Mm-hmm. So somebody's been quizzing you on this. Somebody fed you some answers,
all
didn't
right.
they? But yes, pH is extremely important on cancer cells. If you can actually change the pH of a cancer cell, the cancer cells actually explode. There are very specific pHs that cancer actually kicks off on, and to actually survive in that type of a state, they have to maintain a certain pH. How you control the pH in the body is through minerals. So minerals are extremely important on supplying the cells to help to get rid of cancer.
And we're talking about acidic or alkaline.
Acidity and alkalinity.
Is one worse than the other for cancer, or you want to balance?
What basically happens with cancer cells is that the cancer cells themselves become extremely, extremely alkaline. The surrounding material then becomes extremely acidic. And actually, as someone becomes more acidic in their body, the more likely that the cell could actually become alkaline. It's a very interesting type
I'm
of
confused.
Situation. Yes, it's a very confusing type of situation. And I won't go into it in great detail.
Okay.
But if you can actually shift the pH. Now, one of the interesting things about cancer cells is they actually put out a electromagnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
The larger they are, then the more that they can actually put out. And it actually prevents the majority of minerals in the body from actually supplying the minerals into that area to actually change the pH. So the cancer cells are actually pretty smart in this. Now, there are certain minerals that can actually pass through that electromagnetic field better than others. The ones that they find that works quite well is cesium.
So you want those minerals to pass through.
We want those minerals to pass through, because if you can't actually get the minerals
this
and deliver
war.
Them.
Is this war?
This is war.
Okay.
this is actually a war, and you're trying to deliver oxygen into the system. You're trying to get the toxins out of there. You are also trying to deliver certain minerals into the body. And there's a tremendous amount of research that is being done by the federal government right now in how minerals can make a huge effect. One of my heroes is Hans Niebuhr. He was actually Austrian scientist and medical doctor who did a tremendous amount of research and actually found a lot of these things out about the mineral supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Into the cancer cells that can actually make such a difference. And he pioneered the whole cesium rubidium and how that was able to pass through. But if you actually study chemistry, biochemistry, the periodic table, that type of thing, it makes sense.
Don't smile at me.
I'm not, because you're looking at me like, okay, I'm starting to get kind of, a little bit out there. But it's understandable if, on a chemical basis, why those would actually work.
Mm-hmm.
Also, potassium is extremely important.
Now, do you sell these things at the Prather Wellness Center?
Well, we do, yes. We have CCM. We look very very carefully at exactly what is needed for the body,
mm-hmm.
because not only is the cesium rubidium might be necessary, but potassium, and then very specific types of potassium, depending on the chemistry of the body. The orotates, even the calciums, magnesiums. So there are very specific types of minerals that are very important to be able to work with a cancer patient to get them to get that pH changed.
And how do you check on minerals? I know diagnostics is a very important part at the Prather Wellness Center.
You test. There are a ton of blood tests that we do. Hair analysis, we're looking at urine analysis. There are many different ways for each different type of mineral to test on. And we cover that quite carefully, as also with checking on the pH and the general chemistry of the body to know which ones will work the very best in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also I want to point out, as we're talking about this, is we really don't treat cancer.
Okay.
I just kind of want
that was one of my questions.
I would like to point that out as I'm talking about giving these things. This is a structure function approach.
Mm-hmm.
What we are doing, as we talked about, is balancing out the body so the body actually works better.
Mm-hmm.
The chemo, the radiation, the hormone, those are actually the recognized treatments, and those are the pharmaceutical treatments.
Mm-hmm.
What we are doing is structure function care. We are actually providing a balance and a normality for the body so that it can actually work on it itself. So if we provide homeostasis,
mm-hmm.
the body can actually work much better.
That's, for example, the immune system will
exactly.
be lowered.
Exactly.
You help the immune system
we
build
rebuild
up.
The immune system, and that's actually the next thing we're going to be talking about,
mm-hmm.
is we get the immune system
because I know when
working.
People are in chemo, their immune system is destroyed.
Absolutely.
And chemo is very important, but it's very important, too, that the immune system be built up.
Sure. We do not actually see cancer patients unless they are being seen by an oncologist, because
mm-hmm.
we do not want to give the impression that we are treating cancer.
Mm-hmm.
What we are doing is working with the oncologist and the person to provide the maximum amount of health. And if we can keep, it's just as I communicate with oncologists. You know, I sit there and I send the lab results back and I said, oh, great. You know, their liver is nice and clean. The oncologist is absolutely thrilled
mm-hmm.
with that. Their immune system is staying up and they're thrilled that we're able to keep the immune system working as they're going through the chemo and radiation,
mm-hmm.
because they know that if that immune system is at its peak, then the chances of this patient actually getting well are so much higher.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if we can keep them from becoming anemic, you know, it's a very good type of thing to get the best of both the medical, pharmaceutical, disease care,
mm-hmm.
and also get the best of the structure function care, because your chances of survival become so much higher with
right.
this type of combination than it would all by itself.
So have you had referrals from oncologists for
we
structure
have.
Function?
We mm-hmm. have. That is something that we get. We have a good reputation. I've actually spoken to oncology groups. I've had oncologists into the office, you know, just to talk about things. Whenever we are working on a patient together, we keep in close contact so that nothing that I am doing is interfering with the chemo, because I pretty well know what might.
Mm-hmm.
But we always keep them informed of what we are working with so that we are on the same page and working towards the best health of the patient. Because
mm-hmm.
as people are taking chemo, there are certain things that I can't give them during that time. But as soon as they're off the chemo, then we can actually start cleaning up some of the toxins and keeping that from becoming a problem.
Interesting. So we're talking about, you know, a lowered immune system being a contributing factor to cancer.
Absolutely. Always, always, always. You know, when you're actually talking about cancer, you have to have a toxin in the body for cancer to kick off.
Mm.
You have to have a pH changed for cancer to start. You have to have lowered oxygenation for cancer to start up. You have to have a lowered immune system. And you also have to have a mutation that
mm-hmm.
occurs. Free radicals is a big cause of mutations in
you
the cellular
genetic.
Structure. In the, yes.
Mm-hmm.
On the, there's a damage to the cellular structure, the DNA in there, that will actually start to kick off cancer.
Okay, interesting. When we come back, let's talk about how obesity affects
okay.
cancer. Well, get fit in 2013 with yoga classes at the Prather Wellness Center, Tuesdays from 6 p.m. to 7 and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 11. Single classes cost just $12, or get a package of 5 classes for $50. For more information, call the Prather Wellness Center at 317-848-8048. This is the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather on Indiana's Voice of Freedom, Freedom 95. Welcome back to the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Wellness Center, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients. Today our topic is cancer. The best cure is prevention. And Dr. Prather, we're talking about the contributing factors to cancer. Toxins, a lack of oxygen, pH changes. Talked about the importance, take anemia seriously, free radicals. Let's talk more about the lowered immune system. you know, how that contributes.
Very important part. Matter of fact, one of the reasons that there's been so much hoopla about vitamin D is because vitamin D is very important for the immune system. And vitamin D is one of the big areas that they have found that if you have adequate supplies of vitamin D, then your chances of getting cancer become much less. But vitamin D, the reason that that has a big effect is its effect on the immune system. But there are many different other types of products out there that can have a huge effect on the immune system. And, well, there's too many to actually list. But actually finding out which areas of the immune system might be lowered, how to raise that up, is a very, very important type of aspect.
Well, and that's what's important. What we do here at the Prather Wellness Center is very individual.
Very individual.
Every blood chemistry is different. What is going to help one person might not help another.
Sure.
You know, there's no cookie cutter.
Right, right.
What helps boost your immune system might not be the best thing for me.
Exactly. It's just like zinc. Zinc is a very important factor with the immune system. And a reason that zinc has been shown to have an effect on the on cancer is its effect on the immune system. But if you have too little zinc, it affects the immune system. If you have too much zinc, it affects the immune system.
Homeostasis.
It's just like vitamin D. You can have too much, and that can cause liver problems, a toxicity in the liver, and that can actually kick off a tendency towards cancer.
Okay, or I'm thinking high calcium can affect parathyroid, or, you know, I was thinking.
There is a balance on everything.
Right.
And just running out and taking something because you heard that it is helpful in a certain type of situation does not mean that you're actually helping yourself.
Yeah, there was a big push on vitamin D, and everybody was taking it, and it can be harmful because it's a fat soluble.
Yes, it can accumulate into the system. You need to be careful on that. In other words, you should have blood tests to make sure that you're not taking too much because I have had to treat people who had too much vitamin D with some toxicity in the liver, and we had to detox them. So, you know, being aware of that, going with a structure function doctor, you shouldn't go out and take a pharmaceutical, and you shouldn't actually be taking a lot of concentrated types of vitamins without actually having doctor supervision of those things.
Makes sense. Anything else more on the immune system?
Well, you should have that checked again, and I reiterate this at least every year, because it's amazing how many people we come in with a weakened immune system. Matter of fact, quite drastically low.
Well, we just had a patient with chronic fatigue come in. Her last blood work was 2005.
Yeah.
You know, it's 2013, and she should be getting the annual blood work.
Absolutely. With one of the common things that we find is when you are chronically tired, oftentimes it can be a weakened immune system. A weakened immune system causes fatigue. So if you're tired all the time, getting your immune system checked, if it is low, you need to get it boosted. And I can't. That's the most common reason that people are tired. And when we get it up, it's a whole new lease on life.
Right. Right. Well, let's talk about, you ready to go on to obesity?
I am ready to go on to obesity.
Yes. Big problem here in the United States.
Very big problem.
Especially in Indiana.
Yes.
How does obesity contribute to cancer?
Well, obesity has been linked very definitely with many forms of cancer. The exact cause on that is speculation. But one, it changes your hormonal balance. And the hormones being out of balance can certainly cause cancer because fat cells actually produce more of an estrogen dominant type of balance in the hormones. So if you get fat, you get more estrogen dominant for men, you know, less testosterone, less libido, less of the manly types of attributes. Progesterone drops on women, same thing starts to happen. And with that shift on that, there are certain cancers that are very, very susceptible along those lines. Breast cancer is one, uterine cancer, there's actually an increase in possibility of bladder cancer. Prostate cancer is extremely, extremely sensitive to weight gain. So if you have an obesity situation, it throws off your hormones. It also, blood does not travel as well through fat as it does through muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a oxygenation problem. Also, when you are carrying around a lot of fat, you have more toxins in the system. Your kidneys and liver are probably going to become more toxic. You won't be able to handle things quite as well. Exercise actually increases your ability to actually handle and clear things out. And obesity cuts down on your capabilities of actually exercising as much as you should be.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many different types of factors on that. You've got the, there's actually signs that there can be even some mutations that occur in the cells because you're carrying around too much weight. The body does not like things out of homeostasis, and there is a perfect amount of fat that you should carry. Now, you can't go too low on your fat because that creates diseases too.
Yeah, don't you need fat around the brain?
Yeah, a fat brain is actually a healthy brain. And you need a certain amount of fat to be able to function correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So fat is important, you know, that you carry around a
and
certain amount.
And I know you're talking about skinny fat not being good either.
Yeah, it's, you know, the whole idea of measuring it through a BMI, body mass index, mm-hmm. is a very poor way of actually checking your fat percentage.
Mm-hmm.
What we use is a bioimpedance instrument
here. And we do that for every new patient that's part of their vitals when they come in.
And there are many different types of things that we are checking on that. And one of those is the fat percentage, because that can actually fool you. Mm-hmm. There are people who have skinny fat, and that's actually even more dangerous.
Mm. They can look skinny, but
no muscle.
Right. Interesting.
And that is not a good thing at all. So trying to keep your fat under control is a very important part. And one of the problems that we are having is the number of people who are fatter nowadays is greater than ever. That is one of the things that's going to be kicking up our cancer rates.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten a tremendous amount of benefit from the quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
The other things that have been of great benefit is the colonoscopies as a preventative type of thing.
You know what I'd like them to do, though?
What?
Rate how healthy the colon is. It's okay if it doesn't have polyps, but I wanted to know on a scale,
well,
how healthy.
I am very proud of you because you got your colonoscopy recently, didn't
right.
you?
Right. Yeah, and I had a great report, but I wanted to know.
Yeah, you wanted a scale.
Can they tell?
Are you competitive?
No, I just wonder how healthy my colon is.
But and cervical cancer, because
yes,
of all the screenings have been going on. So people are becoming much more aware of their health and doing the screenings that are necessary.
But what about blood work? Shouldn't that be part of that?
Absolutely.
Annually?
That is one of the,
why
that is
isn't
one of the most
it?
Important.
Why isn't it?
There hasn't been as much emphasis, but it is certainly recommended. And there are no contraindications to it.
Mm-hmm.
So a good thorough blood test should be done on a yearly basis. And yes, you are absolutely right. That is one of the recommendations by every known authority
mm-hmm.
to do with health.
And I know you have 600 hours you've put, you have your diplomat in internal diagnostics, 600 hours of just studying lab work,
yes,
which not all doctors have. You're looking beyond the reference ranges.
We are looking at homeostasis,
mm-hmm.
which can give some early detection.
Right. Yeah, let's talk about what are you looking for? What are some precursors to cancer that you're looking for in the blood work?
Well, one of the things is if there's too high of cell destruction, and you can actually see that in several of the blood tests.
Mm-hmm.
If that is going on a regular basis, then the chances of actually developing cancer are higher. There are some other different types of early warning signs on imbalances in a lot of the different types of blood tests. I won't go into the specifics on those.
Right.
But if there is a certain ratios and certain imbalances, then we know that the chances of actually developing cancer are much, much higher.
Mm-hmm. Talked about anemia.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Looking for anemia, looking for a weakened immune system, looking for a toxic liver, looking for an overstressed kidney
mm-hmm.
are all indications that you can start to develop cancer. Free radical pathology is actually evident on blood tests. You get some clumping of the red blood cells that can actually start to occur. So there is also evidence of free radical pathology as something that can occur. So there are early pre-warnings on cancer that we are looking for. Certain parasites, finding those can actually be an parasites. Certain parasites.
But we don't have parasites in the United States.
Yeah, I wish. But, you know, carrying around chronic parasitic infections, a lot of them are known to be carcinogenic. Mm-hmm. So looking for those things, testing them all out, imbalances in the minerals. You know, I already talked about, you know, if the zinc is either high or low. Same is true of the calcium, magnesium. If you get an imbalance on those things, then you can actually develop cancer at a much easier rate. Also, if there's heavy metal toxicity, is that something that's going on too? So looking for those types of things, being very thorough, you can actually pick up, and if you can get the body back into homeostasis, your chances of having cancer become much less. If you are not obese, if you don't smoke, if you avoid the environments where there is a lot of chemicals or toxins. Hairdressers, very much exposed to toxic. That's a very toxic environment. Getting your hair colored is a huge toxin into your system. So looking at all those things and trying to prevent those are very important.
Well, do you have a question for Dr. Prather about today's show? Go to thevoiceofhealthradio.com to ask your question on our Facebook page and watch Dr. Prather's video answers to your questions. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather on Indiana's Voice of Freedom, Freedom 95. Welcome back to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather, and I'm Lisa Prather. We're talking today about cancer. The best cure is prevention. And Dr. Prather, is all cancer preventable?
A very good question. The American Cancer Society actually puts down that 60% of all cancer is lifestyle.
Wow, 60%.
60% of all cancer. I would probably, in my own personal opinion, put down that 80% of all cancer is preventable. Mm-hmm. About 20% is probably not. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's a huge amount, both by the American Cancer Society, which, they make it very clear that if we would eat a different diet, avoid smoke, avoid chemicals, that 60% of all cancer would not be there. Mm-hmm. If my opinion is, I would put it pretty much at about 80%.
So we have more control.
More control. Now, there is a certain amount that is not. You know, there's a lot of genetic factors.
So much genetic testing going on and women getting, without even having breast cancer, getting mastectomies.
Right.
Yeah.
There are high incidences, and there are certain people that it's just hardwired in their genetic code. I believe that, that they're going to get cancer. But it's usually later in life. Mm-hmm. And if we can cut it down from where we are at right now down to 20%, that would be amazing.
Right, right.
So that would be my opinion, is 80% is preventable.
So what kind of things have you seen at your office at the Prather Wellness Center in dealing with cancer?
We have quite a few cancer patients in here. Mm-hmm. There is some very, very good results that we've had with some cancers. I think one of the interesting cancers that we had is we had a cancer that was a colon cancer that he was they were going to remove his entire colon, and they were going to then start some chemo and radiation. And we had about 3 weeks before he had that surgery done. And he had come in, and he wanted to also get the structure function care done also. Mm-hmm. And we tested him out very carefully. And one of the things that we did was a stool kit. And we were specifically checking to make sure that there wasn't any parasitic infections. And on the stool kit, we found 4 different parasites, amoebic parasites.
Wow.
And I said, well, you know, this is, these are known to be carcinogenic. Let's, at least clear these out before you have everything done. And well, we were working on some other things, and we started him on a very heavy regimen to get that cleared up. And he went in for the colon
surgery.
Removal, right, the surgery. and they did a check beforehand, and 98% of all the tumors were gone.
Wow.
So they decided, well, let's wait.
Uh-huh.
And not start anything. And the oncologist called me, gave the report, and said, whatever you're doing, keep doing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can get this. And we were able to get those all cleared out, reconfirmed it. All the cancer was gone. They still did a round of chemo and radiation to make sure, but they didn't do the colon removal.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very short type of a procedure, just to, you know, double make sure that everything was done right. And, did fine afterwards.
Mm. And so what you had found was the
parasites probably were the precursor to the colon cancer.
Interesting.
So that's not the case in every single, you know, instance. But
right.
Obviously, just changing that aspect had a much more dramatic effect than what I had actually even anticipated.
Interesting.
But I knew that that would be something that we should be starting to get rid of. And, that had a very dramatic effect on this patient.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting case, just to kind of give another twist on that, is we very recently had a pancreatic cancer case that came in, knowing that there really wasn't too much that could be done in, whatever, could be done, but mm-hmm. he was no longer responding to morphine. And we didn't even try balancing out his system, anything like that, but we were just doing acupuncture on him for pain relief. He was stage four. Mm-hmm. It was pretty well over at that point. And
you were just trying to give him some quality of life.
Absolutely did not need any morphine or any pain medicine the entire time.
What did you do for him?
Acupuncture. Hmm. We saw him on a twice a week basis for mm-hmm. acupuncture. Did not have any pain. The oncologist was absolutely thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
He was still on chemo and radiation. And he was only supposed to live about 30 more days. He lived 4 months longer,
mm-hmm.
and we kept him. And matter of fact, on the week before he died, he actually went with his kids to Holiday World, his grandkids, and just did fine.
Mm-hmm.
And one night he says, I'm not feeling too good. I think we should, they said, should you go to the hospital? And he said, yeah. And he died peacefully on the way to the hospital and was able to stay at home the entire time. So, that was what I consider a real victory,
mm-hmm.
In a cancer situation.
Right, especially when you're in the last stages, to have quality of life.
A very interesting statistic on patients with cancer,
mm-hmm.
When they've done research, those that go and get some gentle chiropractic care
mm-hmm.
and acupuncture have 80% fewer complaints than those who don't have those two things done.
Why is that?
Just because we take care of a lot of the pain and discomfort and mm-hmm. the aches and pains and the and even the nausea responds very, very well to light chiropractic care and acupuncture. You just don't have the problems that are associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very helpful type of way, even if not only do we try to help with the length of life, but also the quality of life.
Right, right. There's so many different types of cancers out there.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
For every single cell, there can be a cancer, any different type of cell.
Mm-hmm.
And certain ones can proliferate quicker than others and are much more deadly.
Mm-hmm.
But for every single type of cell, there is a cancer.
Are you seeing here at this office all these different types of cancers?
We've had every single type almost imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that I always, if we can do with our cancer patients, is put them on a food rotation diet.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about that.
Well, if there is a tremendous amount of stress on the immune system,
mm-hmm.
if you repeat a food, it's not the first day, but usually the second day, you start to produce some immunoglobulins. And if you can actually do a food rotation diet and not repeat a food until the fifth day, immunoglobulins only have a 4-day life.
And we're not talking about Arby's on Monday, McDonald's on Tuesday. Yeah. Don't repeat Arby's for 5 days.
Correct. We actually design out a very specific diet along those lines, and that is where we can really get some amazing results. Mm-hmm. Because it boosts up the immune system almost like nothing else, and it reduces the toxins on the body. And if you reduce those two things, you can get a huge changes.
I know we do the ALCAT testing, food sensitivity test here, that we're finding great results with.
Fantastic results. Some very, very sick patients who actually wind up with some great results.
Well, let's talk about supplementation. What do you find helpful, you know?
Well, we have absolutely a ton of things here that we use for our cancer patients. One of the things that's excellent is shark liver oil. Hmm. It has some alkyl glycerols that are extremely good for boosting the immune system. There's a tremendous amount of research on that, and something that we offer here at the Prather Wellness Center to help to boost the immune system. There is Venus flytrap, which has actually been proven to be very beneficial. There's a lot of research on that for shrinking tumors and getting rid of cancer cells.
That's an herbal?
That's an herbal.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard, there was a movie out about a scientist who went into the Amazon forest to find out why this particular tribe never got cancer. And one of the things is that there was a certain type of ant that they had in their food that produced a chemical that was excellent for cancer prevention. It was a great boost.
An ant in their food?
And there was a whole movie about that. Basically Hans Niebuhr had gone in there because he wanted to find out why this people in the Amazon forest. And we have a product called Irididyl. It's an extract from the ants that is excellent also for cancer.
Here, have some ants.
I know we have several people who are on that. But it is great.
It's a liquid form, right?
It's a liquid form. And there's a lot of ants that give their lives for that. There's also research on mistletoe. We have a herbal combination that works quite well.
Mistletoe.
Mistletoe is actually something that has been researched quite well for cancer. Mm-hmm. There are very specific minerals that are involved on producing for cancer. We have a Chinese doctor that provides us with combination herbals for many different types of cancers to actually help to, and I can't name all the herbs because there's about 20 herbs combinations in each formula that we use for our cancer patients with some very, very good results. The Chinese have been doing a lot of research on it. Very well documented. We get quite a few products from Germany. Our mistletoe is actually a pharmaceutical product made by a pharmaceutical giant in Germany, so we get a lot of our stuff from there. The minerals that we have is formulations by Hans Niebuhr, who had the largest cancer clinic in Europe. Where he treated a lot of famous people for cancer. We use different formulas to help to balance out the hormones.
Are you talking about homeopathics?
Homeopathics, yes. We have a tremendous amount of homeopathic types of formulas for to help people to balance out their bodies so that they can get over the cancer. And all these things are structure, function, all natural, that help your body to heal itself.
Well, we're out of time. Thank you, Dr. Prather.
You're most welcome.
And if you're listening, if you have a question, don't forget to go to our Facebook at thevoiceofhealthradio.com and ask your question. Well, the Prather Wellness Center is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. For the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.